San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, March 22, 2026. Today's lesson is To Be or Not to Be with Reverend Mark Obkamp.
The music we just heard was from Darren Winfield, and it was called Discerning of Spirits. What a powerful, powerful song that is. And thank you for recommending that for me, Dr. Connie. So good morning, everyone, and welcome home. Welcome to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. This is our spiritual community, but much more, this is also our spiritual home. And the minute you walked in that door, whether it be 24 years ago, or for the first time this morning, you became part of our spiritual family. So as we begin this morning's lesson, let us anchor ourselves in the truth that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which moves through all of creation. And I call that power God, the living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And we anchor ourselves in this truth when we meet, because we know that though we may call it by different names, it is the creative power of the universe, and that in its image we have been created in love and light. It is our very essence, and none of us would be sitting right here, right now, if we had not been created within the one love, one light, and one spirit that lives within each and every one of us, right here. It is within each of us. And please, let us not forget that we can never be apart from the one, and that though we are all individuals and have different ways of expressing ourselves and having our own personal lives and choices, that we are all connected to each other in very special ways. Perhaps sometime in the future we can explore the sacred connections. But for now, let us just be aware that it is there and with us always. Today's lesson is entitled To Be or Not to Be. And I chose this title because one of my personal big things in this lifetime is that we have been given the power of choice. Yes, there are rules and regulations that have been created by humankind so that hopefully we can all get along together on this small sphere that we call the planet Earth. But really, we are just a small blip on the far larger map of the cosmos. And each of us is so comparatively small compared to everything else that is. And if you think that this is the only place where intelligent life exists, I honor your beliefs and hope that you can honor mine as well. Because remember, we are all one. So if there are other places beyond that we know, they are still part of the one. And that connects us all. So our theme for the year is living in truth. And this month, the truth that we are exploring is discernment. And personally, for me, the idea of discernment lies within the difference between instinct and taking the time to think things out. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're driving down a backwoods road at sunset. Suddenly, out of nowhere, as you round a corner and the sun is practically obstructing your vision, you see something, you think, in the middle of the road. Are you going to start thinking, gee, I wonder what that is right in front of me? I wonder if I should slow down. I wonder if someone is behind me. I wonder if... And You have just hit a deer and done $4,000 worth of damage to your vehicle. Or have you slammed on your brakes and tried to swerve to avoid the deer? Which do you think would have been instinct, and which do you think would have been discernment? Well, of course, instinct would tell you to try to stop and try not to hit the deer. And discernment would be trying to analyze the situation and fathom out the most plausible solution. Sometimes we have to rely on what we have learned from past experience. And sometimes we need to put more thought, deeper investigation, and then listen to the differences of what our hearts and minds are telling us. So, in a flash, instinctive second, we are probably not going to be trying to sift through all the possibilities and distinctions of that particular situation. But, in other moments, it is probably more astute to look at every angle of a situation and then come to our best perception of the possible outcome of it. Ernest Holmes, founder of the Religious Science Movement, and author of the Science of Mind textbook, tells us a little bit about discernment on page 60, paragraph 2, in the textbook. He says that the mental attitude of the practitioner is one of denial toward every false condition that opposes the principle of life as one of absolute perfection. God's world is perfect, and this is the principle we have to demonstrate. Spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. And when we are ready and willing spiritually to discern, we shall find a ready response from the invisible into the visible. Let us do our work thoroughly and leave the results to the law, which is perfect. We don't have to be perfect because the law is. In other words, if we do our homework with a strong belief system based on faith, the manifestation is going to take care of itself. Again, from the Science of Mind textbook, page 283, paragraphs 2 and 3, we are told that behind every effect, there is a cause. And if this cause is a spiritual idea, which it must be, then it follows that should the spiritual idea be discerned, the physical effect would be like it. The entire possibility of demonstrating the law of God depends on this position. The idea is father to the fact. Ideas are real, having the power within themselves to be made manifest. The whole teaching of the Bible is to the effect that God is universal spirit and universal creation. He creates by the power of his word. This word is the law of his being. Man produces the divine nature on the scale of the individual. In other words, we produce to the extent of our belief. He goes on to say, he also uses creative power, which works through the law of his word. From this, he cannot escape. He need only to use his power constructively, and all will be well. If he uses the creative power of his thought destructively, then it will destroy. So, let us discern a little bit here. What would we rather do? Would we rather use the power within constructively, doing good, or would we rather be destructive? The choice is ours. It always is. So what I found myself asking as I read this statement is, how are we, as a whole, using our creative power and our words? And are we allowing our thoughts as a human race to wander farther and farther away from the truth of our being. Do you remember a few weeks ago, I recounted the idea of fear as being simply false evidence appearing real? Well, there certainly seems to be a whole lot of false evidence out there. And the more that we buy into it, considering it to be the truth, then the more we are allowing and adding to the F-E-A-R, fear. We must remember to stand firm in our beliefs and realize that the more this fear grows, that the more fear it is going to create. And we do not have to buy into this fear, but each and every one of us must recognize that if we are holding on to any false beliefs or false realities, that perhaps it is time to harvest the onions and garlic from our gardens and use them elsewhere. Everything here, everything has a purpose, and these elements can enhance our dying experiences. But for now, let us remove them from our metaphoric gardens and get rid of our stinking thinking. Sophie Thomas has told us that an open mind must be multiplied by discernment. Knowing what to take in and what to discard or file away for future pursuit is important to one's growth. Interestingly, Charles Spurgeon put it this way: discernment is not a matter of simply the difference between right and wrong, but the difference between right and almost right. I really like that idea. So what is our truth? Truth as we see it is right or almost right? I've been asking myself that question a lot lately. And I remember somewhere along the way about knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt, that's what's truly right, not almost right. We must always have that discernment beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is our truth. And I know that at this point in my journey, if there is a question about something within my own way of thinking, that I really need to take the time to look at it more deeply and find out why it is either showing up as a red flag or that feeling within that is telling me something about taking this direction or action just doesn't seem right. It might be almost right, but within my heart of hearts, it just isn't. And for me at least, this is where my instinct and discernment begin to work hand in hand. Samuel Johnson has told us that the supreme end of education is expect discernment in all things, the power to tell the good from the bad, the genuine from the counterfeit, and to prefer the good and the genuine to the bad and the counterfeit. And that means that to do this, we must learn to find the truth in everything. What is this truth, and how does it set within our individual being? And you know what? The truth is not necessarily going to be or look the same for everyone. Remember, always, that we are all part of the One, but we are all individual divine beings having a human experience. And that for each of us, that human experience is ours to have on our own within the context of us taking this journey in this time and place for a reason. We are not here now simply by kismet or accident. In the here and now, each of us serves a divine purpose. Whether it be quietly holding the high watch for our brothers and sisters on this planet, or taking a peaceful but vocal stance for the same brothers and sisters. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, We are told, "Beloved, do not believe every prophecy, but examine the prophecies to find out if they are of God, because false prophets have appeared in the world." Very timely for today's world that we live in. Ernest Holmes was an advocate of always digging for the deepest truth we could find. Time after time, we are told how we should be open at the top and keep looking for more. And especially in these times, I believe in having faith and also not having such a blind faith that somewhere I am going to be missing the truth. There are many false truths out there, and many of the false prophets are using these false truths to create fear among the people of all nations. So, after we have taken the time to gather the information, it is time to find out our inner knowledge and use the strength of that knowledge to find out our own truths. Jimmy Gomez stated that when fake news is repeated, it becomes difficult for the public to discern what's real. But we do have the God-given right not to be easily led into false evidences. We have the power of choice, the power to choose what is real to us and what is not. On page 427, paragraph 1 in the Science of Mind textbook, we are told that Jesus discerned spiritual truth. Why or how, we do not know, nor does it make any difference. The world has not produced another like him, and until it does, he must receive a unique place in the history of human character. And in paragraph 2, he goes on to say, he lived in a world of spiritual realization, far beyond that of which the average man has any understanding. As spiritual things must be spiritually discerned, the full meaning of his sayings can never be clear to us until we have attained a consciousness equal to his. And we all have that within us. We all could achieve that. But it is a matter of our own doing that we choose not to. But in the record of his sayings, there is much which bears witness to our own belief, and no doubt, could we penetrate the meaning of his teaching, we should have a perfect explanation of our own philosophy. And what does all this mean? Well, the way I see it is that we have a lot still to learn. So, let me ask you all what may seem to be a random question for a moment. How many of you feel that you might have taken a misstep or possibly made some mistakes in your life? And I better see every hand raised. Of course, we all have. And there is some information about that. T.F. Hodge tells us to let discernment be your trustee and mistakes be your teacher. So, with this in mind, let me ask another question. Since we have all made mistakes along the path of our journeys, how many of us have learned from their mistakes? One more question, and you don't have to answer publicly on this one. So, how many of us seem to be creating the same mistakes over and over again? Must be that false evidence appearing real. Well, in her book, Battlefield of the Mind, Winning the Battle in Your Mind, Joyce Myers tells us, some people think they have discernment when actually they are just suspicious. And let me say right here, there's nothing really wrong with suspicion as long as we use it to an advantageous means. She goes on to say that suspicion comes out of the unrenewed spirit. If we have the spirit within, maybe we're not going to be quite so suspicious. Or maybe we're going to be really suspicious and discern the truth of something. In day 52, during the season for nonviolence, we are reminded, and please repeat after me, today I will pause for reflection.
Today I will pause for reflection.
And so it is.
And
so let us contemplate these words for a moment. From John Halifax, compassionate action emerges from the sense of openness, connectedness, and discernment that you have created. Very important right here. The discernment you have created. Nobody has created it for you. It is not anybody else's opinion. It is yours. The key word here is you. You have, as with all that is in your life, created it. And from Sharon Salzberg, love and compassion don't at all have to make us weak or lead us to losing discernment. We just have to learn how to find them and see in the truth what they bring us. But let us remember that, as Charles R. Swindell reminded us, we need discernment in whatever we see and what we hear and what we believe, because we are creating our own truths always. And we are also reminded from Chou Kwai Sui to remember, anybody can say anything. Anybody can write anything. Practice discernment or intelligent evaluation. I really like that term, intelligent evaluation. And so I would like to close this morning with this intelligent evaluation by our founder, Ernest Holmes. It can be found in the Science of Mind textbook on page 146, paragraph 3. And if it is comfortable for you, please close your eyes for a moment and just listen to these words. As you meditate and become more spiritually attuned, you can better discern and recognize the sound of your higher self, or the voice of God speaking to you through words, images, and sensations. God's creative power of mind is right here. We have as much of this power to use as we believe in and embody. The storehouse of nature is filled with infinite good, awaiting the touch of our awakened thought to spring forth into manifestation in our lives. But the awakening must be within our thought. The word that we speak is the law of our lives, and nothing hinders its operation but ourselves. We may use this creative word for whatever purpose we desire, and this word becomes the law unto the things for which it was spoken. We are given the power to sit in the midst of our lives and direct their activities. Strife and struggle are unnecessary. We only need to know, but we must know constructively. To be or not to be, that is the question. And so I ask this question: when do we choose to be, and what do we choose to create? Let us be discerning in our choices. I thank you for your time and attention this morning. Namaste.